This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathira. From Abadu, my dear brothers and sisters, we spoke about the differences between Islam and Westernism last week. As you can see, these are two opposing ideologies, two opposing philosophies. Submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu and submission to our own desires. These are mutually exclusive and irreconcilable. There can never be a compromise between them. One must necessarily submit to the other. That is the distinguishing factor, the signature of the Muslim, that he or she subjugates their desire to the will and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said that your deen will never be complete until you submit your desire to the religion, to the deen that I have brought. A Muslim recognizes and joyfully accepts, not reluctantly, not complaining. A Muslim recognizes and joyfully accepts that it is the purpose of his creation. The reason why he was created was to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and does that in the way taught by Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is a blue jay which is loudly complaining about I don't know what. Hopefully not about my khutbah. Now this is the essence of the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. That there is nobody worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so I worship him. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger, is the last and final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so I obey and follow him. There are no qualifiers to this statement of faith, this declaration and oath, thanks to which a person enters Islam. It is a statement that is applicable to every person who wishes to enter Islam and remain in it, whether it is in the East or West or anywhere else. This is our creed. This is what makes us Muslim. This is our face and our signature. We are recognized by this. We are recognized because we obey Allah. Obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is its essence. And that doesn't change for anyone or any place. My brothers and sisters, is Islam compatible with Westernism, the philosophy? No, it isn't. But is it possible for people living in the West, the location, to live by Islam? Yes, it is, without a doubt. And that is why I began with a definition. Because when we ask about raising Muslim children in the West, we are not speaking about what we need to do in the location, but what we need to do combating those parts of Westernism as an ideology that are antithetical to Islam. Combat it is, make no mistake. Like combat, it requires knowledge, understanding, a clear strategy, courage, has risk, is painful, potentially fatal if you fail, and joyful and rewarding if you succeed. It is a serious business, not a mere intellectual exercise. The cost and benefit are both very real. The first thing to teach, therefore, is to draw attention to the definition so that people realize that there is nothing special about the West as a location that requires Islam to be re-engineered and interpreted or changed to suit people in living in the so-called West. Islam is Islam, no matter where the Muslim may live. As I said last week, it is like the principles of flight. They don't change for any country. They have to do with flight, not with where you fly the plane. Now, what are the challenges of raising a child in the West? The challenges have nothing to do with the location, but with Westernism, which is global and inside us. What we teach our children, and indeed before that, what we need to come to terms with ourselves, are the following 11 things. Number one, goal reset. These are the strategies to deal with the challenges. Goal reset. First and foremost, check, guide, and mold their standards and goals and aspirations. For that, even before that, check your own. I have spoken to many young boys in America, children of our Musallis, as well as children of my non-Muslim friends. What strikes me is that there is no difference in their goals and aspirations. That is, in my view, the first red flag, the first warning. The road depends on the destination. If you want to change the road, you must change the destination. As an exercise, when you go home today, sit down with your family and ask them to write their life goal. You write your own. Then check to see where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes into it. See whether Allah is mentioned anywhere in this life goal. I know I am letting the cat out of the bag, at least for you and for those young guys who are sitting here. But doesn't matter. Be honest to yourself, because at the end of the day, you can only fool yourself. And if you say that, oh, I am completely focused towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you are not, believe me, you are not fooling anybody. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. What matters is that you are fooling yourself, and I don't think that's a good idea. Number two, course correction. Bring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into your home. Now, you might say, well, this is a strange thing to say, because Allah is in my home. I'm a Muslim after all. Think about this. If that is the case, then why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu udkhulu fi silmi kafatan wa la tattabi'u khutuwati shaitan innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. Why did Allah say that? O you who believe, means who? Means Muslims. And remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing at that point in time, even though the Quran is for everybody for all time, at that point in time, O you who believe is who? Is the Sahaba of Rasulullah. There is no belief stronger than what they believed. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, O you who believe, enter into Islam fully and totally and completely, and do not follow in the footsteps of shaitan. Verily and truly, shaitan is your open enemy. Why is Allah saying that? If merely being a Muslim, merely being born a Muslim, merely living in a Muslim home were sufficient for one to be considered a Muslim. So, bring Allah into your home. Bring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into your conversation. Bring Allah into your budget. Bring Allah into your aspirations. I'll tell you what I mean by saying bring Allah into your budget. Talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His glory, His majesty, His generosity, His forgiveness, His mercy. Encourage your children to donate to charity and measure it. That is the meaning of bring Allah into your budget. I know we have many in this congregation who are big donors to this masjid. And alhamdulillah, you are big donors to many worthy causes, Muslim causes across the world. You are big donors to masajid in your back home countries. Now check what your children are donating. Because if they are not, then you know what that means. You know what it means for all those places that you are donating to. If your children are not donating, you know what that means. Check the programs you watch on TV, if you have TVs. I don't have a TV. I haven't had a TV for the last 30 years. And believe me, I don't miss it. My wife doesn't miss it. We have a lot of time, alhamdulillah, and we are not exposed to at least some of the corruption that is there in the world. And that has nothing to do with the West. As I told you, Westernism is a philosophy, universal, just like Islam. It doesn't matter where you live, Westernism is there if you want to imbibe it, just like Islam is there if you want to imbibe it. So watch, check what programs you are watching on television. What books do you read? Do you read? What kind of conversation do you have? What is its content? All these color aspirations and focus and results. If you talk about the dunya constantly, that is what will dominate your life. If you never talk about the akhirah, it will never be your focus. Number three, set boundaries. Teach them respect for boundaries by respecting them yourselves. Boundaries are the essence of parenting. Teach them that being Muslim means to recognize and accept the supremacy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, and that obedience and allegiance is only to Him. This is the most fundamental principle which must be taught, practiced and demonstrated. This is what drives every decision and action. This is the safety belt. Put it on or die. Number four, forget popularity. You didn't get elected to the position of mom or dad. You gave birth to your children. Focus on being inspirational, respected, and held in awe, not liked. It's okay to be liked, but it's also okay to not be liked. It is necessary to define boundaries without fearing unpopularity, whether it is in parenting or in religion or in politics. All corruption begins when people who should know better remain silent when they should speak. Corruption begins with ulama, with teachers who speak to please their audience, who speak to please those who donate to their institutions, who speak to please those who pay their salaries. Forget them. If you don't believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is your razzaq dhul quwwatil mateen, that He is the one who feeds you, and anything else is only a means and the one who gives can change the means and give you, if you cannot speak with integrity and with courage, tape your mouth. Don't speak. But never ever remain silent about something that you should warn the people about, and never ever promote something that you know inside yourself to be wrong. Because on the day of judgment, my brothers and sisters, believe me, people in positions of authority, and it begins with the ulama, begins with the scholars, because they have the knowledge. And then it goes on to anyone with authority. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Kullukum ra'in. He said, all of you are shepherds. On the day of judgment, it will be very tough for those who had the authority and misused it. Christianity, for example, if you look at it, is losing people in Europe, is losing members in Europe, even though the church, to be popular, has legalized everything which the Bible prohibits. But it is gaining converts in Asia and Africa, where it's not so flexible, and where local cultures also support boundaries. People need definitive rules. A free-for-all may sound nice, but it is free for some at the expense of others. Boundaries like seat belts restrict some freedom, but save lives. Security is inversely proportionate to convenience. Number five, Allah first. Teach them to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, which is an outcome of shukr, which is thankfulness, an attitude of gratitude, where we are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy and blessings. Allah said about the believers that they love Him more than anything else. He said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ومن الناس من يتخذ من دون الله أندادا يحبونهم كحب الله والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله. Allah said, which means, and of mankind are some who take for worship others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as rivals to Allah. They love them as they love Allah. But those who believe love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anyone or anything else. Number 6, love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalalu. Islam is submission, and submission is always difficult except when it is because of love. Remember that without love, glory and majesty of Allah in the heart, obedience becomes a burden. Force or so-called logic are not substitutes for love, because they can both be countered to one's own detriment. In Islam, the fundamental rule is that we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because He is Allah. We pray because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu told us that that is the way to get close to Him, and we want to be close to Him. We don't pray to discharge electricity from our heads in sujood. I mean, all these funny theories get promoted from time to time. Somebody said, sajda is done so that static electricity will get discharged from your body into the ground. La hawla quwwata illa billah. Believe me, if you are doing sujood for that, your sajda is invalid. We don't pray for that reason. We don't pray because bending and standing up is good for the joints or good for digestion. We don't fast because it's good for health or to lose weight or to know how poor people feel. Being poor is about insecurity, it's not about hunger. We don't give zakat to ensure distribution of wealth in society. We don't do hajj to reinforce or show solidarity with the global Muslim Ummah. We do all of these because we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and because He ordered us to do this. That is not only sufficient reason, but it's also the very best of reasons. After all, love begins where reason ends. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to establish salah as a way to remember Him and to reinforce our relationship with Him, the relationship of ubudiyat. He said, إِنَّنِي أَنَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَعَبُدْنِي وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ. He said, verily I am Allah, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا. None has the right to be worshipped but I, so worship me and perform and establish as-salah, iqamati salah, for my remembrance. Salah is the meter. It is the criterion. It is the standard for all of life. Whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked about anything, he answered in terms of salah, as he did in the definition of al-ihsan in Hadith Jibreel. Our salah, its quality, and our attitude towards it demonstrates and is a measure of the state of our iman. Hasan Basri rahmatullah said that if I am riding an animal, if I am riding a horse or a camel or whatever, and it misbehaves, to me this is an indication that there was some fault in my salah. Therefore, the animal does not obey me because I did not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly. Salah is the physical manifestation of the kalima. It is the physical manifestation of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah. There is no one worthy of worship except Allah. So I worship Allah and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Rab, I am ready. How must I worship you? Allah said, refer to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us how to worship Allah. And he said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wa sallam. He said, worship Allah as if you can see Him. And if you cannot see Him, know that Allah sees you. Right? Is this restricted to salah alone? No, this is al-ihsan. It is the manifestation of excellence in everything in life. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us the example of salah to measure this against. My brothers and sisters, salah is the physical manifestation of the kalima. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the demonstration in action that we worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Islam begins with Salah. So therefore, let us honor Salah and let us ensure that we fulfill its obligations and fulfill the obligation of establishing Salah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the tawfiq to reflect on and think about some of the things that I have told you and to measure yourself and then to chart a way for yourself going forward. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِن لَّدُنكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنتَ الْوَهَّابُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.